Well, good morning again. If you are visiting with us this morning, we are especially glad that you are here. Hope that you feel Christ's love in this place and from Him and from His people. You know, we're not the church for everybody, but we would love to be a church for you. We would welcome you to visit us again and plug in to us. We would welcome that. If you are sitting there in the seat pocket in front of you, there should be a blue card in front of you, and would welcome you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love for you to do that. And if you want to be on our email list to hear about things that are upcoming in our schedule and so forth, you can put your email there and check the little box you'd like to be added to that list. And we also have a Wiley Methodist app. You can just go to the App Store and download the Wiley Methodist Abilene and download that free app. If after the service, I will be out in the foyer down at this end. Would love to meet you. If you are visiting with us, you can bring your blue card and we can get to know one another. Also, if you don't have time to do that, you can just leave the blue card there in the seat as you leave. I also will have a free gift for you out there. And every once in a while we get a member that tries to sneak in there and get a free gift, but would love to meet you after the service. Turn with me, if you would, to Joshua 24. Joshua 24. Now, kind of set this up. Charlton Heston had already left Egypt. Moses. The nation of Israel and Moses, they had left Egypt and they had wandered in the desert, and Moses had died, and he had passed the leadership over to Joshua, and they're coming into this new promised land that God had indeed promised them some 40 years before that. And we pick it up in verse 14, Joshua 24, 14. And these are the words of Joshua to us today. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you. You are indeed welcome here. And just as the case every Sunday, nobody wants to hear from me. I don't even want to hear from me. We want to hear from you, Holy Spirit. We ask you to speak to us in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So today's sermon, this Father's Day sermon, I've entitled Good Fathers, Good Fathers. You know, the dilemma, this is kind of the dilemma. It's really easier for me to do on Father's Day because I are one. But the challenge, the dilemma every year for Father's Day, and really for Mother's Day to a lesser extent, is to both honor and yet challenge at the same time. You know, we want to honor our fathers and recognize what a blessing they are in our lives, and yet at the same time this morning, I want to challenge you. I believe God wants to challenge us, fathers. Now, fathers, we're going to take a vote. How many of you fathers will let the ladies and the non-fathers listen to the rest of the sermon? Is it okay if they listen? This is primarily aimed at fathers, but I think that it applies to all of us. You know, God has called us fathers to be spiritual leaders. To be spiritual leaders. Now sometimes I think that gets in our culture, that gets a bad rap, that we think that our culture portrays that we as Christians think that the husband or the father is supposed to stand and and wag his finger at his family and tell them what to do. That's not the heart of God at all for us. Being spiritual leaders, you know, Jesus taught us to lead is to serve. To lead is to serve. So God is calling us to be spiritual leaders of our families. And so the thought occurred to me, how are we doing with that? I mean, reflecting upon myself and upon our culture, how are we doing with that? How many of you remember the old movie Rocky? You remember the old movie Rocky? And I remember when he committed to the fight with Apollo Creed, that he got up that, you remember he cracked the eggs? You remember that? That was really kind of gross. But he cracked these raw eggs, and he drinks this drink, and he starts running. And he starts training, and he's focused. I mean, he has a mission to be in the best shape of his life and to fight this fight to the best of his ability. And I kind of had this vision that's what God wants for us. And so as I think about this question, and that's the vision, I remember Rocky at the end of before his fight, he runs up the steps of the library there in Philadelphia, I think. He runs up these massive steps, which he couldn't do when he first started training, and he's victorious, and he's standing there with his arms raised. So as I think about how we're doing, the question in my mind arises, do we look more like that or like this? Go ahead, Alan. Show them this awesome video. So which are we? Which are we, men? Are we that Rocky that's standing at the top of the steps and we're ready to take on the world? We're ready to lead? Or are we kind of giving her that? Going through the motions. And I got to tell you that as I reflect on our culture, too many times it's the latter for us men. Too many times it's the latter. This passage today, Joshua is laying. He's being pretty clear. He's being pretty clear where he stands. Let's look at this passage a little closer. The Bible says that a good father, first of all, rejects the gods, lowercase g, the gods of this world, and faithfully serves the Lord. So he in this passage in the first verse 14 there. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. So the gauntlet has been thrown down by Joshua. Do you want to keep worshiping these gods, these gods of gold and silver that have no power in your life? Is that what you want to serve? Is that who you want to be loyal to? Or do you want to be loyal and serve this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Now, so I ask you the question, we may not have little gold statues in our house that we worship, but what gods do we serve today? Uh-oh. Don't you hate it when the preacher meddles? I mean, God, what gods are we worshiping today? You know, in this day and time, Joshua was speaking very specifically, you know, like, hey, y'all had these little gold statues. In fact, the Israelites had done it in the wilderness when Moses delayed on the mountain. They formed this idol, this gold idol, and worshipped it. And he's saying, is that really what you want? Is that really what brings life and brings abundant life to you? But no. He's saying, serve the Lord, not those false gods. So what do we serve today, church? Men? Fathers? You know, and please don't, none of these things that I'm going to kind of tick off here are bad in and of themselves, but when an idol, the way I define an idol, anything that takes the rightful place of God in our lives is an idol. Yeah. So is it our work? Is our work an idol? Is money an idol? Is our pleasure an idol? You know, the things that we do to, you know, to just be satisfied. I have my own issues today, but back years ago, before the Lord really got a hold of me, I was consumed with Jeff. I was just consumed with Jeff. I didn't really put any attention to my wife, and of course my girls were very little at that point. But I just wanted to have fun. I mean, that's it. I was just out, you know. And it was most of it was just harmless stuff. It's like being consumed with sports and golf and softball and basketball and all these different things that I was doing. There's nothing wrong with any of those things, but I'm just telling you, they were idols in my life. They were idols in my life. And God was somewhere way down the list, and my family was somewhere way down the list. So what gods do we serve? Because the Word is saying, throw those things away. Be done with those things. It doesn't mean that you can't play golf. Okay, guys, it's all right. I'm not telling you you're sinning if you're playing golf. I'm just saying, anything in our life that takes the place, the rightful place of God in our lives, is an idol. And we need to deal with it. We need to deal with it. The Bible says a good father rejects the gods of this world and faithfully serves the Lord. The Bible says, secondly, a good father delights in God's holy word. Delights in God's holy word. Now let me read this psalm. It's the very first psalm, first three verses of Psalm 1. I love this psalm. It really back 30 years ago, this psalm really had a very significant impact in my heart. But it says this: blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And here's the fruit. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. God is telling us, be in his word. Men, come on. Come on. How often do we crack this thing? Be in his word. This I'm reading today. This is my dad's Bible. And I wanted to read today out of my dad's Bible, and many times I saw my dad in the Word, and I saw him teach Sunday school and be a leader and be a man of integrity. And I love this because you can see the smudge marks on the edges of the pages where he turned the pages. And it just so happens, this passage that I read today, I want to get to it again. Verse 15, he has underlined in here, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's underlined in my dad's Bible. And I didn't know that. Yesterday I went and picked this up for my mom last night, and I didn't know that was underlined. And I looked up the passage for today, and he had it underlined. You know, God is calling us to be good fathers. He's calling us to be men of his word, men of his word, and men of integrity. I got this. Is Kitten here? Kitten here? I got Kitten shared this with me yesterday, and I want to read this. This is it seemed to fit. This came out of a devotional by Chuck Swindoll that she was reading in the last couple of days. It says, this is quoting from Chuck Swindoll, people do not long to be around one who does a lot of things as much as they want to be around one who is what they admire. It is greatness of character and life with depth that earns the respect of others. Those who have been honed and buffeted, bruised and melted in the furnace of affliction, and then emerge with emotional stability and inner strength, they are the ones who have a ministry in the lives of others. You know, so I would say this, dads, if you're listening, and you may be granddads now, or your children may be grown, you may not have much contact with them, but the people that you are in contact with, be men of integrity. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you tell someone, follow through and do it. Conduct yourselves in public and in private in a way that brings glory to God. And we begin to nurture that in us. Greatness of character begins right here. Begins right here. We understand the heart of God through His Word. And He shares what the picture is for us. His heart for us is to be like Him, to be holy as He is holy. So the Bible says a good father delights in God's holy Word. And finally, the Bible says a good father sows life into his family. Sows life into his family. You know, Joshua, this passage we just read today, you know, he's saying, get rid of these gods and these things that you worshipped in Egypt. Get rid of those, set those things aside and serve the Lord. And he says, if it's you have to choose. It's a choice. Do you worship the things of the world? Do you serve the things of the world? Or do you worship and serve the living God? And so it's a choice, men. It's a choice. And then he says, so you've got this life and death is set before us. And you choose. And he says, you have a choice too. But as for me, Joshua says, as for me and my household, there's that spiritual leader. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Do you hear the servant's heart leadership of Joshua? I will say this, you know, I don't think our kids are looking for perfection. They are looking for men of integrity. That's what we need. We don't need a bunch of squeaky clean perfect people that never mess up. Sometimes what they need is somebody that can, a father that can say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I'm sorry I raised my voice. I'm sorry I did that. That's a man of character. It's not a perfect man. It's a man of integrity and greatness of character. And that's what I think our world and our families are longing for. Ephesians says it this way, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Be an encourager, men. Be an encourager to your family and to those around you. You know, words matter, men. Words matter. And I believe fathers should be a champion for their spouses and for their children. I mean, if you can't count on anybody else in this world, man, count on your mom and dad. And I know some of us did not have those kinds of relationships with our earthly fathers, but it doesn't preclude us from being that kind of a man. How many of you have seen the movie Courageous? It was produced out of a church. They did Facing the Giants and Fireproof and Flywheel, I think, was another one they did. And then they did this Courageous a few years ago. And man, if you haven't seen Courageous, especially dads, man, check it out. Watch that movie. It's powerful for dads. There's a final scene I want to play for you, a final scene that takes place. And this dad that you're going to hear from, he's a police officer, and I'm not going to spoil it for you, but he and his family have been through some really traumatic stuff, okay? And through the trials of life, he has grown closer to God, and he's become a better man and a better father. And he puts out this challenge to men and daddy. So I just invite you to watch this. Go ahead, Alan.
I now believe that God desires for every father to courageously step up and do whatever it takes to be involved in the lives of his children. but more than just being there, providing for them. He's to walk with them through their young lives and be a visual representation of the character of God, their Father in heaven. A father should love his children and seek to win their hearts. He should protect them, discipline them, and teach them about God. He should model how to walk with integrity and treat others with respect, and should call out his children to become responsible men and women who live their lives for what matters in eternity. Some men will hear this and mock it or ignore it. But I tell you that as a father, you are accountable to God for the position of influence he has given you. You can't fall asleep at the wheel, only to wake up one day and realize that your job or your hobbies have no eternal value, but the souls of your children do. Some men will hear this and agree with it, but have no resolve to live it out. Instead, they will live for themselves and waste the opportunity to leave a godly legacy for the next generation. But there are some men who, regardless of the mistakes we've made in the past, regardless of what our fathers did not do for us, will give the strength of our arms and the rest of our days to loving God with all that we are, and to teach our children to do the same. And whenever possible, to love and mentor others who have no father in their lives, but who desperately need help and direction. And we are inviting any man whose heart is willing and courageous to join us in this resolution. In my home, the decision has already been made. You don't have to ask who will guide my family, because by God's grace, I will. You don't have to ask who will teach my son to follow Christ, because I will. Who will accept the responsibility of providing and protecting my family? I will. Who will ask God to break the chain of destructive patterns in my family's history? I will. Who will pray for and bless my children to boldly pursue whatever God calls them to do? I am their father. I will. I accept this responsibility, and it is my privilege to embrace it. I want the favor of God and his blessing on my home. Any good man does. So where are you, men of courage? Where are you, fathers who fear the Lord? It's time to rise up and answer the call that God has given to you, and to say, I will. I will. I will.
How about it, men? Are we men of courage? You know, I don't know if you, I know that was maybe been your first time to see that clip. There was a couple of instances where it flashed out to wives looking up at their husbands up on the stage, and they had that look that I long for, that look that says, you're a good man, that look that says, you're a good daddy. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it, men. And I can't even imagine that the look that when we're walking faithfully with the Lord, that God's given us that look as well. You're a good man. I'm proud of you. If you'd just bow your heads with me. Father, help us to be good fathers. Help us to follow your example. In just a moment, we're going to sing that beautiful song, Good, Good Father. And you are indeed a good, good father. Help us pattern ourselves after you. Father, if we need to be convicted, if we need to repent of behaviors in our life that don't bring honor to you and don't bring life to our families, and then convict us. Change us. We want to be like you. And we love you. We thank you that you loved us first. In Jesus' name, amen.